Good morning, good morning. This is your boy, Elder Lewis Gray, coming to you again. Amen. With a word from the Lord, we thank God for you, you, and you that have taken times out of your busy schedule to join me today for another word from the Lord. I hope God has been good to you. If he woke you up this morning, then yes, he has been good to you. And if he woke you up this morning, you owe him a praise, because the scripture says, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. And I just praise him for another day. Amen. It is sunny outside, and things couldn't be any better. And I just thank God for blessing me to be here just one more time. And I thank God for you, you, and you that are listening by way of radio, and those for you that may come in by Facebook. Good morning to you. God is good, and he is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. And while you're at it, tell a neighbor, tell a friend that each Tuesday that Elder Lewis Gray is on, Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. With a word from the Lord, WWBC 99.9. Amen. FM. Amen. God has a word for you, you, and you. And so I thank God for blessing me for this opportunity, this platform to be able to come to the people in the Brevard area, the Space Coast area, with the word of the Lord. And I thank God for blessing me to be able to go on Facebook and give a word from the Lord. As always, I send a shout out to my pastor, Pastor Barbara Kimbrough, who is our pastor at the True Pentecostal Community Temple Church, located here in the great city of Cocoa, Florida, at 16 South Wilson Avenue. Praise the Lord to you, Pastor, and good morning. Good morning to her husband, President Charlie Kimbrough. Good morning to you, sir. Amen. And good morning to my wife, Minister Frieda Gray. I love you, and good morning to you as well. I hope that the Lord blessed you throughout the week. I thank God for this past Sunday. God, amen, had his way in our service on this past Sunday. I thank God for our visitors that came. Bishop, I believe it's Jones Ray, just met him this week. He stopped by, him and his beautiful wife. Amen, Pastor Jones as well, I believe. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Just seemed like we've known them all of our lives. And I thank God for you showing up at our service. He came in and made himself feel at home. Thank God for Elder Daniel Coleman that came all the way from Georgia. He used to be a member at our church, but he moved away, him and his beautiful wife, amen, Mother Coleman, and they moved to Georgia and started their own thing. And they came back. Amen. And it was like a family reunion, and we just had a good time. And I preached from the book of John, chapter 5. And my thought was, the wait is over. And my subject was, take up thy bed and walk. Amen. God can't use you sitting down. I'm telling somebody today, your wait is over. God said, take up thy bed, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Amen. God can't use you sitting down. Get up. Amen. Quit sitting there. Quit allowing the devil to sit on your lap. Amen. And go and be a witness to somebody and tell them how the Lord brought you up and out of a horrible pit. So we had a powerful time on this past Sunday. We just came together and we went out to eat afterwards, and we just... Scripture says, oh, how good and how pleasant it is that brethren dwell together in unity. And we just went out to eat at Texas Roadhouse, I believe, and we just had fellowship, and it just seemed as though we had known each other all of our lives. And again, I say praise the Lord to you, Bishop. Amen. I believe he used to be the pastor at the House of Refuge here in Cocoa. They had moved away to Texas, and now they had moved back, and I thank God for them coming. And I just bless you, my brother. Bless you, my sister. Amen. And bless you, Elder Coleman. So without further ado, we're going to go into the word of the Lord. Very familiar passage of scripture, which can be found in the book of Romans. Amen. Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to read into your ears simple two verses. And again, that's Romans chapter 1, verses chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. And it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for blessing us, blessing me to come here just one more time. Thank you for blessing us to gather here one more time. Whether a person is listening by radio or whether they're watching by Facebook, they're not here by accident, but they're here by divine appointment. I thank you for those that have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Oh God, for your scripture says, let him that have an ear hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. And so I pray, Father, Lord, that it will take root in somebody's soul, God, that they will be more like you in the name of Jesus, Lord. For we know that your word will accomplish that for which it was sent. And we know that it will not return void. And God, I pray for those that are in leadership, all pastors, our government officials, president, Congress, and our Supreme Court. God, give them wisdom. And we're praying, Father, you bring this nation together. Amen. As we say, amen, truly under God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to talk for a few moments, be a sacrifice. Be a sacrifice unto the Lord. Paul, in essence, as I read, said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. If I were to rephrase this, I would say that Paul is saying is that I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto God. This is your true and proper worship. Amen. In the Old Testament, when sacrifices according to God's law, the priests killed the animals, cut them in pieces, and placed it on the altar as a sacrifice for atonement of sin. These were sacrifices that the people were to bring to the priest, and the priests were to offer them up to God as an atonement for their sin. And we know that this was the way things were until after Jesus had been crucified, raised from the dead, amen, and establishes a new covenant. Now that we are in the new covenant age, God is not looking for animals, amen, but he is looking for individuals, living individuals. In the Old Testament, they brought to the priest dead sacrifices. But in the New Testament, God wants living sacrifices. Amen. He made it clear, amen, that that he is wanting us to be living sacrifice is unto God. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. What are you saying, Paul? That God was so merciful unto us that he gave himself as an offering, as a sacrifice in atonement for our sin. The Bible lets us know that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. It took Christ's blood for God to forgive us of our sins. Because Christ died, because he sacrificed for us, we ought to in turn
be a sacrifice to him because he showed mercy on us. My grandmother would always say, he didn't have to do it, but he did. He didn't have to die for your sins or my sin, but yet he showed us mercy. Mercy is showing us something, amen, that we don't deserve. We don't deserve mercy, but yet he gave it to us. And Paul said, considering the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. God wants us to sacrifice our lives to him. How do we sacrifice our lives to him? Amen. We ought to be obedient to his word. Obedient to his word. Laying aside our own desires to follow him. Putting our energy and resources at his disposal and trusting him to lead us. Hallelujah. We do this because he saved us through his own sacrifice on Calvary's cross. Amen. Out of gratefulness, hallelujah, that our sins have been forgiven. We ought to do this because we should be grateful for what he did on Calvary's cross. That we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Giving honor to Bishop Wright, who I was under for some 13 years up in Anderson, Indiana. He had a saying, and I thank God for him because part of who I am as far as my ministry, amen, is due to him. And I say, thank you, sir, amen, and praise God to you, amen, for being my spiritual father at a season in my life. But he had the saying that salvation is free, but it's going to cost us something. See, we want salvation, but we don't want it to cost us anything. We don't want it to inconvenience our lifestyles. Hallelujah. But don't you know that should Christ bear the cross alone, we too have to be a sacrifice, putting aside our own desires and being obedient to the word of God. The Bible tells us that obedience is better than sacrifice. God wants us to be obedient to his word, to do what he has told us to do. Many of us, we are aware of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not kill, and honor thy father and thy mother. These are just a starting point of what God is asking us to do. To sacrifice. Amen. To be obedient to his word. See, many people want the blesser, which is Jesus. Hallelujah. But they don't want to be obedient to his word. Jesus said that if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples. What does discipleship mean? It means to be disciplined. We are to live a disciplined life. That means that we're not to participate in everything that this world has to offer. Look what he says, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. What does holy mean? That doesn't mean that we're altogether perfect, but we're striving to be more like Christ. We're striving to be more like him. Are you striving to be more like Christ today, or you're just satisfied with the status quo? Do we take the mindset that the world takes? None of us are perfect, therefore we shouldn't strive to be perfect, but we should strive to be holy. We should strive to be sanctified. What does sanctified mean? That means to be set apart for his use. You know how when I was growing up, Mama, my grandmother would have a chest or whatever, and she put her good dishes in those chests. Hallelujah. And those were set aside for particular feasts, Christmas. They were not everyday usage. We had to, she would only pull those out on special occasions. They were set aside. You couldn't touch those dishes. And that's what God is saying. God has said, I have set aside you for my usage. Are you set aside to be used by God? Are you holy? Amen. Are you striving to be more like God? Be a sacrifice. He says, holy, acceptable unto God. God is just not accepting anything. But see, we want to bring God anything. We want to say, Lord, this is the best I can do. And that ought to be acceptable to you. But God is not calling for a da-da-do. See, that we've taken the da-da-do spirit. This ought to be good enough. I go to church every Sunday. But during the week, I do whatever I want to. I live and do whatever I'm big and bad enough to do. And say that this is acceptable. We, Sundays, we act like Christians. But then Monday through Saturday, we act like the world. We do what they do. But yet we come in on Sundays and say, this is my sacrifice. But can Cain come and testify that everything is not acceptable to God? Cain, you know the story. He brings God a sacrifice. But it is not acceptable to God. Is the way you're living acceptable to God? God wants us to strive to be more like him. God wants us to be to live an acceptable life before him. And he says, God is saying, I'm not asking you to do anything that's unreasonable. He says, which is your reasonable service? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God said that when you sanctify yourself for me, that ought to be your reasonable service. It shouldn't be a hard task. It shouldn't be, well, I don't want to get involved in church because they can't do certain things. Hallelujah. They don't get involved in certain things. They don't participate in everything. Yes, I make no apologies for being a man of God. I make no apologies for being saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I make no apologies because I realize that I've been set aside for God's usage. And therefore, I can't participate in everything. That's why when grandmama would have those, I forget what we used to call them back in the day, hallelujah, that chest or whatever, where they put the dishes she set aside, amen. But they were not to be used for everyday usage. They were not to be just the run of the meal. There are a lot of people that are Christians saying that they are Christians, but they are participating in everything that the world has to offer. And look what Paul goes on and says. And he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Too many of us are conforming to the ways of the world. We're doing as the world does. We're participating in and everything that the world has to offer. But yet say that we are Christians. See, when Christians means to be Christ-like, we have to ask ourselves that when we begin to want to do certain things, we have to ask, you know, the braces we used to have, say, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus participate in this? Yes, we know he went to the wedding. He was a person that was there at the wedding. Somebody might say, well, he turned the wedding, turned the water to wine. Hallelujah. Amen. But he was turning it into wine. Glory be to God. At the world when he was giving us, amen, showing those at the coming of the new wine, hallelujah, which was the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, glory be to God. It was for him to show them that he was God and that he could do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, hallelujah, somebody. But the Bible does not say that he participated in drinking the wine. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. But there are things that God has to do in our life to show us that he is God. He is God manifested in the flesh. And said, be not conformed to this world. Meaning that many of us from the time we were born, we were trained in the worldly system. We are in the world, but not of this world. We're in the world, but not of this world. But many of us from the time that we were born to where present day, we've been conditioned to believe that we're to be like the world. It's all right to steal. It's all right to cheat. All right to say a white lie, as the world would call it. It's all right to fornicate. Have sex outside of marriage. It's okay to live and shack up, as we used to say. That's okay. That's what the world does. Everybody lies. But that ain't what the Bible says. The Bible says that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. There is no little lie and there is no big lie. That is conforming to this world. But we've got to understand that if I say I'm a Christian, I've got to be Christ-like. I've got to strive for holiness. I've got to strive to be more like Christ. I can't take that or do spirit. He said, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. When we look at the Greek word for transform, it means being changed into another form, into a new creature, a new creation. Doesn't say to be reformed, because when we're reformed, we're just changed back into what we were originally taught, which was the ways of the world. But yet we have to be transformed. That's why the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. The way we think becomes new. Yes, before I knew Christ, I participated in the worldly system. I did whatever the world says was bougie, as they say, to do. Suave to do. Chase the women. Have the new cars. When I was younger, I had cars after cars. Convertibles. I'm not here to boast. Hallelujah. T-tops. Cars. Phones in the car. Why? Because the world was saying that this is what we ought to do. If you want to get this, you got to do that. I participated in the drinking and getting drunk. Why? Because the world said that's you're an old fogey if you don't do that. My mind had not been transformed. I was conforming to the world. And so I realized that after I knew Christ, that I had to be a sacrifice. I couldn't do those things anymore. See, many of us, we want to come to Christ and still do as we did before. Still be as what we did before. But we've got to lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. We have to lay it aside in order for us to be like Christ. It says, but ye be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It wasn't until I got and received the Holy Ghost that my mind was renewed. We have to let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, let this cup pass from me. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You've got to be a sacrifice to allow God's will to be done in your life. So that when God's will is done in your life, we may prove, as Paul would say, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are to be an example to the world of the way that God wants us to be. The world is not to be an example to the Christian as the way that the Christ-like individual ought to be. We ought to be showing the world that this is how you live. Jesus said that I come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. There is no other life outside of Jesus Christ that will give us the abundant life. I was in the world, and I thought that going to this party, chasing after that woman, drinking that drink, would give me the satisfaction that I was looking for. I believe it was the Rolling Stones that said, I can't get no satisfaction. I couldn't get any satisfaction until I found Christ. And when I found Christ, amen, he gave me just what I was looking for. Because God has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. Amen, that you will be an example to the world. And the only way you can be an example to the world is if you be a sacrifice. You know one thing about a sacrifice? When they brought those animals and they laid them on the altar, those animals couldn't fight back. They were dead. They were dead. They could do whatever they wanted to with those animals. That's what God wants to do in our lives, that when we become a living sacrifice, you are allowing God, the potter, to do whatever he wants to do in our lives, that we will trust him so that he will get the glory out of our lives. Are you being a sacrifice today? Are you being a sacrifice for God? Are you in control of your life, or are you allowing God, Jesus Christ, to be in control of your life? Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brother, considering the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be a sacrifice today. Be a sacrifice. God is not longer calling for a dead sacrifice in the Old Testament. He's calling for our lives to be our sacrifice. So I'm out of time, but not out of word. Join me again on next Tuesday with a word from the Lord. Amen. You be blessed and you be a sacrifice. In Jesus' name, have a blessed week.
We here at True Pentecostal Community and Church invite you out to our services, which are as follows. On Sunday morning, our Sunday school services begin at 10 a.m. Our Sunday morning services begin at 11:40. And due to the COVID-19, our weekday services begin at 6 p.m., which our Bible studies are on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. And our youth services are on Thursdays at 6 p.m. as well. And we trust that you'll come out and have a high time and worship the Lord with us. Our church is located at 16 South Wilson here in the great city of Cocoa, Florida. You be blessed throughout the week.
I remember when the choir sings.